Hello and welcome to Dirty Talk. I'm Vivian. I use she or they pronouns, and I'm here with Arna and a guest.
Yeah, once again, my name's Arna, she, her pronouns. Today we have a very special guest called Brooke. She's here from Quinn, an audio erotica company that I'm actually working with this fall. So hopefully we'll have more collaborations. But yeah, I'm going to let Brooke talk a little bit more about what she does. And then we can go from there. This episode is going to be more about like porn culture and stuff surrounding that.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much for having me. My name is Brooke. I use she, her, hers pronouns. And I am the community and marketing lead at Quinn, which is an audio erotica startup in the sexual wellness space. We were originally founded around 2019 by Caroline Spiegel, and we've been around for about 3 years now. We've been blowing up recently, so we are just so grateful to be included in this conversation, and we are so excited to be talking with you all today. I myself went to University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I double majored in gender and women's studies and sociology, but I minored in global health. So pleasure activism, women's reproductive health has been something that I personally have really kind of dedicated my life to. I really started getting into it when I was about 13. And around that time, you know, everybody's coming into their sexual and their reproductive, you know, awakenings. Menstruation is starting for a lot of people, and it's a really, really uncomfortable time. So I was really fortunate to grow up in a family where conversations about sex, sexuality, mental health, destigmatizing sexuality, and the ties between sexuality and mental health were really positively talked about in my family. So I have always, you know, been the conversation starter amongst my friends. I'm always somebody that's super open to talk about sex and kink and pleasure and all of that good stuff. So when I was in college, I was studying for the MCAT. And I realized I didn't want to go to medical school anymore. And I had just been scrolling through TikTok one day, and I found Quinn and a video from Caroline talking about her journey coming from having an eating disorder and not finding, you know, pleasure within the traditional view of porn and the traditional outlets for porn that I'm sure a lot of people, you know, whether it be Twitter, Tumblr, Pornhub, Reddit, wherever you're finding any of that spicy content for free. And her friend had shown her a piece of audio erotica that she just fell in love with and realized that there was no app for people. And so I had shot my shot. I reached out, sent my resume, told her that I would work for free. I just wanted to be her intern. And lo and behold, here we are about a year later. And I love every second of my job. So that's a little bit about me, how I got into Quinn, where my interest lies. And I am excited to get started talking to you guys about this.
Yeah, I love that story. I love that how you just like randomly find passions in people without actively looking for them. I think that's when the best passions come up.
Yeah.
But yeah, to start off with, I wanted to kind of have you elaborate on some of the things you mentioned already. So I really like the term you use, sexual wellness, and I was wondering if you could like, and also pleasure activism, and I was wondering if you could talk more on like those ideas and what they mean to you, or like how Quinn promotes those ideas of like sexual wellness and, you know, like pleasure activism.
Absolutely. So traditionally, porn has been created from a male-identifying gaze. So a lot of times there are slightly violent depictions of female-identifying individuals or female-presenting individuals. There are situations where partners are put into really dangerous positions, really interesting camera angles that seem to focus solely on genitalia and the intimate acts going on, rather than focusing realistically on how intimate acts come to be. Because a lot of times you are not just thrown on the bed, flipped around, and one thing leads to another and penetration is occurring. A lot of times you meet somebody at a coffee shop, you have a conversation, you go on a date with them, you decide, you know what, maybe let's get a little frisky tonight. Let's go back to their room, and one thing leads to another. And then maybe you get bent over, flipped around, and all that good stuff. So something about the way that porn constructs our narratives of sex. And this isn't all porn. We work with some fabulous creators like French Brutus and Stella Berry that are, you know, self-identifying visual porn media stars in their own right. And they really try to promote positive views and realistic views of sex, and what brings pleasure to them, just to name a few. And so we're not saying this is in all cases, but in a lot of cases, especially what you'll see on free platforms like Pornhub, there are those negative images of, just within this interview, I'll use the term women, but there are negative images of women and people, for, you know, for that matter, in a lot of really compromising positions and faces that you can't really tell if it's pain or pleasure, that, you know, we've heard forever make people uncomfortable, make people question if they're doing sex right, if they're doing intimacy right. And I think that's the big issue of the narrative that we really try to break, is that there is no right way to do sex. There is no right body type to do sex. There is no right partnership to do sex. And something that we've also noticed is, you know, statistically, and what research around porn and arousal has shown us, is that female identifying people, usually when they're watching a heterosexual scene, they tend, even if they, you know, within their own daily lives are attracted to the male counterpart in the video, they will watch the female performer in the video because they like to imagine themselves in that position and experiencing that pleasure, which is why a lot of women who identify as straight will also watch lesbian porn scenes, because they like to imagine themselves in that situation. So for women, what we always like to say, especially, is the brain is the biggest sex organ. And with audio erotica, what you do is you remove a lot of those barriers that the visual porn media kind of puts up in order for somebody to experience pleasure. You're not seeing a certain body type. You're not seeing a certain skin color. You're not seeing ability. You're not seeing how somebody phenotypically presents. And you're not even hearing anybody, sometimes you may not even hear like the other counterpart, that it's much more of a, fantasy or visualization, because we have a lot of audios that a lot of our listeners love where it's the audio creator that's almost talking to you as if you are in that scene with them. And we try to bring a bit more of a narrative approach to erotica. So we really love to fully, fully immerse all of our listeners in this storyline, in this plot. So not only does it feel real, but it feels tangible and relatable, and that they can imagine whoever, whatever they want in this situation. And they can also see themselves in this situation. So it becomes a lot easier for them to imagine themselves in this fantasy, rather than trying to place themselves in the certain visual presentation of somebody in the visual media. We also really love to emphasize, you know, impassioned consent, aftercare, all of those things that make a sexual experience something that can be pleasurable for every party involved, no matter what that looks like. That being said, we also have overheard audios that are two people engaging in intimate activities that also at the same time have enthusiastically consented, showing what aftercare looks like. But you have those audios so you can imagine yourselves in that situation. You can imagine yourselves as a voyeur. You can imagine yourselves in a way that really tries to take away a lot of the barriers that prevent people from fully getting off to a visual media. Or afterwards, from speaking to a lot of my friends or a lot of our listeners, maybe feel a little bit unsettled by the images that they were shown. So in that case, we really try to promote sexual wellness for everybody. To us, that means being able to find pleasure, have conversations around sex, around sexuality, really learn what you like and be able to have empowered conversations surrounding sex and your sexual desires and interests with partners or a partner of your choice, and really being able to dive all in and try to, whether it's recreate those fantasies or just transport yourselves out of the current world and experience those fantasies from afar, is a really, really powerful thing.
Yeah, definitely. I love the point of, women trying to, imagine themselves in scenarios, or, just, the fantasy aspect of it, or, trying to, make it seem like something real or tangible, in a sense. I think that's so important, because I also think for a lot of young people, porn is, the main way of, learning about sex and sexuality. So that healthy depiction, and also that sense of, self-identification within that healthy depiction is so crucial. But yeah, I think that, definitely, I think a lot of more female gaze porn is coming out there.
100%. And what we've noticed, though, and not to say this is all, companies by any means, but I know we had a video that did really well on TikTok, because sometimes you'll have a supposedly female gaze porn video and you're still getting the same exact video that you would on Pornhub, but instead they changed the title from fucking my cum slut stepsister or something like that to partner goes out to work and comes back to a dirty surprise, but it's the same video.
Yeah. So
that's where rhetoric becomes so powerful. And like you said, it's a lot of people get their sex education from porn videos, especially with all policy changes that are going on right now and the political divides that we're seeing in the United States, especially. So when, people want to explore what this is and what intimacy is and sexuality is, we want to make sure that we're giving them positive understandings of how they can explore it in their own life.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I noticed you mentioned, throughout, kind of describing how women identify themselves in porn, is continued mention of informed consent. And I was wondering, I don't know if you could maybe just give some examples of what informed consent can look like, because it can be so varied, and I just wanted to maybe put that out there for people.
Yes, that's such a great point. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And I'd love to hear if I miss anything, if you guys have any options or any things that you've heard before too. I think that's so important for your listeners to be able to really engage with and have some options in their back pocket. I know one of my favorite things I like to hear is, would you like it if I touched you there? Or would you like it if I did this to you? So even asking something like that, it's not really, sometimes what you say, it's how you say it. So consent is the sexiest thing that you can have in an intimate activity. Having somebody ask me what I like and ask me what I want not only allows me the opportunity for me to tell them no, but also gives me the opportunity to make the sexual experience more pleasurable for me. So you can have somebody ask you, hey, would you like it if you touch me there? Or do you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Would you want to do this tomorrow? Or, hey, you know what? I'm no longer in the mood. I would much rather go to third base with you. Mm-hmm. Would you be okay with that tonight? Things like that is something, we really try to emphasize in our audios. Or a really sexy way to ask for enthusiastic consent is saying, even, I want you to beg for me if you want me. So something like that, allowing people the opportunity to have those dirty talk moments, to have those spaces to get creative, but still at the same time reaffirm that their partner is engaged.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's so great. And I also wanted to touch upon, what you were talking about with, in general, the titling or just the gaze. I really liked what you said about how different videos, the way you just talk about it is so like the language that we use around like women being referred to in like porn, like, you know, like words like cum slut, which can be sexy and like, you know, empowering for some people, it really can. But, you know, like for young people, young audiences, a lot of that, you know, language in like porn video titles, just in porn, be kind of derogatory, which again doesn't need to necessarily be a bad thing because some people might find that arousing.
Oh, we have a category called degradation.
That's exactly.
Absolutely love, but it's having that consent within degradation and having that, you know, one of my favorite things about the kink community, like I live in Austin, for example, in Austin, Texas, there's a 12-week bondage course offering in the city for people to just go and enjoy and explore the community. But everything that's being explored is completely consensual. So for example, like with BDSM, with, you know, dominatrixes, they have a full conversation about what the other person is interested in before any activities begin. So if degradation is your thing, that is awesome. But we just want to show that the people are enjoying it and that there is enthusiastic consent surrounding it.
Definitely. And I wanted to ask, this is actually one of like my last questions, and then Vivian, you can ask more questions if you want. But I wanted to ask if you could touch more upon like the ethics in the porn industry, and how audio erotica is a good way of like navigating the ethics, because I know like often with like video pornography there's a lot of like ethical stuff with like, was this filmed consensually, was someone like coerced into doing this, like, you know, is this like a leak thing, like stuff like that.
And I think, I know you both love to ask for media recommendations, so somebody I would really direct this conversation to is somebody that had you know, experiences like this themselves is Mia Khalifa. She's a very, very intelligent, outspoken woman who has had a lot of experience in the porn industry where some interactions were consensual and others were, she was very coerced into. So a lot of people enter the porn industry thinking that, because I have friends that are strippers, I have friends that do OnlyFans, and this, even though I personally don't do it, this is just hearing from their experience and from what I've read myself. And of course, every experience is different, but from what I've learned and what I've gathered, as people enter the porn industry, there are sometimes very few conversations about what are you comfortable doing versus what are you not comfortable doing. And there are very few conversations about boundaries. Can I stop a scene in the middle of it? If I don't feel comfortable, what do I do? If I don't want to work with this partner, what do I do? I know Mia Khalifa has spoken out and said that there were times where she didn't want to do a gangbang scene. And she was coerced into doing it because they were told if she doesn't do it, then she's not going to make it in the porn industry. Or, you know, there will be sleazy bosses that will be like, show me what you've got. And they will ask for, you know, reciprocation or a show or things like that. Where you want to do, if you, you know, are going to be in the adult industry, is to be able to have a team behind you that supports you. And at least from what I've seen, like adulttime.com is a really great example of trying to explore the ethics of the porn industry. They are a porn company, but their TikTok account is incredible. They show the conversations about sex and pleasure before their scenes. They show consent conversations before their scenes. They show, they ask their performers how, what they like to do after a scene. So they really try to unpack the porn industry and really show people that these are humans that enjoy what they're doing. And they talk about safety. They talk about health. They talk about breaks. They talk about if you want to stop a scene, what's a safe word you should say, things like that. So basically where audio comes into play is, some other audio sites will send creators a script and say, read this and read this sexy. One thing that we really love to do and we pride ourselves on is we are a primarily creator-driven platform where our creators will write perform, sometimes not even write, and just completely shoot the shit with themselves behind a microphone with their scenes and their situations that they do. So every action that this person is doing is something that they want to say. We're never telling them what to say. We're never, you know, maybe we'll give them a prompt and say, for example, can you include, here's a challenge, can you include IKEA in your next audio in some way, shape, or form, and just say the word IKEA. You know, maybe you make that your safe word in your next audio or something like that. But everything is open, is very consensual. A lot of times with audio, sound effects are used rather than the actual acts. So Audio Erotica is a really safe space where, for example, we have a creator who identifies as bisexual, and they have never in their own personal life been intimate with somebody that identifies as a woman, but they still identify as bisexual because they find themselves sexually attracted to women. So Audio Erotica is a space that they can explore these interests and create different types of audios that can help them to explore their different interests and potential kinks. I know a lot of our creators as well have also had experiences with porn that they, I think addiction is a very big word, but from speaking to some of our creators, you know, they found themselves enjoying porn a lot. And then when they found audio, they found a way to have a really healthy experience that they can identify better with rather than you know, like I was talking about earlier, a physical presentation of somebody on a screen. They instead were able to envision situations that they would like. I know Calman, one of our incredible creators, he is an actor and he is absolutely wonderful. He loves to create narrative driven content. And for him, what turns him on and what gets him into creating these situations are situations that you build context, that you see the person and you see, you can envision yourself in this situation. You have this cinematic moment in your mind where you can picture yourself there and in this situation. You know, for example, he just did a multiple part series where you come home for the holidays and you meet your brother's girlfriend and you realize it was your ex-girlfriend. And something for him that he really liked when making that series was the depth of emotion that goes through people when, if that situation was to arise. And for me personally, and for a lot of our listeners, that's what brings audio to an entirely other level, is you can connect the physical, the mental, the emotional, you can connect everything into an imagery that you can envision yourself in. So especially ethically, for us, you know, we are very, very strong allies for the LGBTQIA plus community. You know, we donate openly to pro-abortion causes and pro-women's reproductive health causes. So we do not associate with people that do not support our morals in that sense as a company and as a community. So we really strongly identify with making sure that we have an open, welcoming, and safe space for all of our listeners, like I said, to explore things in their own mind. You know, we have creators of from every walk of life, from every physical presentation. And the coolest thing about audio is also for our creators, they don't feel like they need to also fit in a certain mold for what people would quote unquote deem attractive in the porn industry. They have the freedom themselves to also explore things without having those barriers or boundaries. And, you know, we pay our creators incredibly ethical, livable wages. And that's something that a lot of times visual media will struggle with. And we've heard from creators like Mia Khalifa, they don't make much money, which is why OnlyFans, being a creator run and driven platform, you know, is a healthy alternative. I tell some of my friends that will watch visual media, I'm like, if you're gonna watch porn, I hope you're paying the creator.
Yeah.
Because that's the creator.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge. that's like a big thing is like compensation in the realm of ethical porn. I was especially like when you talked about like humanizing the actors, just like talking about like, oh, what do you like to do like after you do this, like that like really hit for me, and I was like, oh wow, like yeah, like these are people, and they should be like viewed as such. And I was wondering if there were like other things that you look for when like looking for ethical porn, and kind of like what defines that for you.
Yeah, for me, I think compensation, creator driven, consent, active, and allyship is really important, which is why Quinn feels so at home for me. You know, I grew up myself as a competitive dancer, and I was always told that I needed to look a certain way. I needed to act a certain way. I needed to present myself a certain way. I needed to say certain things at a convention to be liked by the judges or to be liked by the teacher to earn a scholarship. And, you know, a lot of times that would make me feel uncomfortable, even if I wasn't able to identify it in the moment, just even in my own life. And I think with sex and with sexuality, like it's something, especially with porn, like it's something that's so intimate. Like you are on a solo mission, or you're listening with partners, to explore something you haven't necessarily explored before. And I think for me, having a creator that I identify with is something that's really important. I know, for example, there are some of our creators, like Bad Influence is really great at creating a storyline. Their Oz is really great at creating a storyline. He identifies himself as the Dirty Prince Charming. And he really is, you know, just that, where you have a lot of these different experiences that you can explore. And I think experience is the better word for an audio media. And like I said, we, as a company, we vet our creators very, very deeply before we hire them and, you know, contract them for this work. So it is really important to us that we, you know, provide that open and safe space. And I think whether you're looking at visual or audio media, that's something for me is really important. But I think if I could give people any like sense of advice on that, it would be just to make sure you know what you value and make sure a company, you know, aligns with that. For example, I think, you know, Belaysa really prides themselves on having, you know, female driven visual porn. I think adulttime.com is another great one. I always support OnlyFans. French Brutus is one of our creators, and he's phenomenal OnlyFans. Stella Berry is on OnlyFans. There are a lot of creators that really pride themselves on making sure that their partner's pleasure is the center of the video, and that mutual pleasure is the center of the video. And I think that word mutual is just super important, that you're finding a site or a creator that you really identify with. But, you know, primarily this is their, a lot of people's jobs. So making sure a video was filmed with consent, because a lot, sometimes there are like POV videos that make it on Pornhub that were never supposed to make it out of somebody's My Eyes Only camera roll. Mm-hmm. So making sure that there is consent in the video, that the creators are being compensated, which is why I love OnlyFans, so that you can pay your creators, you know, tip your create. I think you can tip your creators. I am currently not on OnlyFans, so I don't know if that's still or currently the case, but being able to compensate people directly, I think, is a really great way of saying, hey, dude, you did me a favor and I had a few great orgasms today because of you. So thank you for that. But yeah, that's for me. I think just having that mutual understanding of what you value and what you look for, and making sure that it's mutually beneficial for yourself and for the creator.
Yeah, totally. I think breaking that down is really important when we like start to deconstruct like kind of the monolith that is like,
yeah,
like the current like porn landscape.
And oh my just, God, like, so wild.
Yeah. And kind of just thinking about like, I don't know if I've seen porn where like even female orgasms are treated like as important So, like, kind of, like, looking for, like, okay, like, this is what doesn't resonate, or, like, this is what I don't connect with. Because I think there's a very, you have to be a very specific type of person to connect with, like, what is popular in, like, a porn scene right now. Like, you kind of have to be, like, there's a very specific identity you have to hold.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you go on Pornhub, and based on your location, you're immediately taken to a what's most popular. Or what's hot, I think they call it, like, what's hot for you or something like that. And you see all these visuals of not, a lot of times, not even people, but fully, like, not even a person's face. It's just their legs spread and being penetrated. And so it's, like, a very interesting thing that, in my eyes, that makes it almost more biological than intimate and emotional. And I think sex is such an intimate and emotional thing. I mean, even looking at, like, I'm really, you know, I love Quinn because we are constantly evolving to fit the social needs and the political landscape of our world. You know, with Roe v. Wade and everything that's going on right now, to me, honestly, it's even more important than ever where, you know, for example, if you choose to let somebody come inside of you, like, that is an 100% consensual thing. That is something that you decide as partners. That is not something that is a one-party decision. If you decide to have intercourse, you know, without a condom or with a condom, all of those decisions are mutual because, you know, God forbid, not saying pregnancy is the worst thing in the world for anybody by any means, but for me right now, I would hope I would have the choice to make the decision what was right for me. And I hope everybody can have the choice to make the decision that's right for them, be it to keep a child or to terminate a fetus. I think that's something that where consent, especially with how our world is looking and, you know, payment with how our world is looking right now, is almost just even heightened for me as a viewer and a listener.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. And I was wondering along the same lines, if, and I don't know how much you might be able to speak to this since I know it's like mostly audio, but yeah, I guess you could, but what you think of like diversity in the porn industry and also like accurate representations of racial identities, because I know a lot of times in racial porn, I mean in mainstream porn, there's like fetishization. And I don't know if that really translates into audio porn, because I guess it wouldn't necessarily, because you know it's a very visual fetishization, but I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know this is going to be turned into a podcast. So I myself am a white, cisgendered, heterosexual woman. So I don't want to try to say anything about how I feel race is portrayed from, you know, another person's perspective. I can, as a, you know, as a viewer and what I've heard from other people, you know, bring that up in the conversation. But I do, you know, I don't want to try to say that I understand anybody's experience, because I am not that person. I know for us, we have a lot of our Black listeners that want more, you know, identified Black creators so they can support Black creators. So, you know, we have tried, and based on the desires of our audience, we made a category that was named Black creators, so people can support Black creators if they want. I think race is very interesting, especially in, like you said, in a audio media, because a lot of times all, you know, all you have is just somebody's voice, unless the creator, you know, uses their real name and has a social media platform and everything like that. So, you know, especially, like, if your community wants to support a certain demographic, like, we always tell people that if they want more South Asian creators that identify as South Asian, if they want Hispanic creators, if they want creators that are of any ethnic or racial background that they want to be able to support on our platform and support their craft, then we always encourage people to send us creators. And I think that's something that makes Quinn really special, is we are always open to new talent. if there are creators you want to support, even if they have 10 followers, if they are phenomenal, we want to give them a shot. We want to have them audition. So that's something like we always try to do to support creators that are diverse in that sense. And we, you know, have a bit more of a platform to do that because, you know, you're not dealing with a lot of like what you were talking about, the fetishization that happens a lot of times from a visual media. From a viewer standpoint, I think the porn industry, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Is there's a lot of fetishization. There's a lot of verbiage that's used that I think could be deemed degrading by certain people and certain communities for how they're being described by whether it be their race, their religion, their ethnicity, things like that. But again, like, as long as things are done with consent and as long as things are agreed to by the parties involved, then whatever you're into, be into it. Mm-hmm. So I think it all just goes back to consent. Obviously, you know, I wish OnlyFans and, you know, Pornhub and, you know, would support creators of color and support them as equal and pay as equal to their white counterparts. But I'm not in those industries. So in an ideal world, I hope that would be the case. But hopefully you guys can have somebody that can come on the podcast soon and maybe talk a bit more about their experience as a person of color in the porn industry and be able to explore that a little bit further.
Yeah, we would love that.
Yeah, if you have any recommendations, if you know any people as well, we'd love that. But definitely we ourselves will also look out for some conversations around that. But yeah, I feel, I think we're about ready to wrap up. If you have any last questions, or if Brooke, you have any last comments. I pretty much asked all my questions. But yeah, we can head towards wrapping up.
Yeah, I think either you touched on, like, things I was gonna ask and didn't even realize it, or, like, everything's pretty wrapped up for me. But yeah, thank you so much. I think your perspective is, like, super valued, and you definitely have me thinking about, like, a lot of things that it wasn't even on my mind before. So that's really exciting.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad. I think the most important thing, like, if I was to say anything to anybody, is always make sure everything you're watching is consensual. Pay your creators. Make sure that they are receiving the money that you are giving to them, and you're not, like, you're being careful about conglomerates that you decide to support. Quinn really prides herself on being a community of creators and a supportive network for people to create erotic audios and be paid livable wages. So if you want to find Quinn, we are on Android, iOS, on the web, on TikTok, on Instagram. You can search our app name Quinn on Instagram and Twitter, or on Instagram and TikTok. We are at Try Quinn with two N's. On Twitter, we are at @TryQuinn_. And just make sure that pleasure is always at the front of everybody's experiences. I think that's a word that we always forget to talk about, that nobody was ever really taught about when they were younger. Mm-hmm. Is you're taught what sex is, what sex can or will result in if you do certain activities, but you're never taught about how to have pleasurable experiences when being intimate. So make sure that you're searching for pleasure in a way that is pleasurable for everybody, mutually and consensually. But yeah,
I love that. I think that's a great concluding thing to say. But yeah, we'll move on to our concluding media recommendations. We've already kind of been talking about, like, porn specific, you know, like, look out for, like, maybe interviews or articles with Mia Khalifa for more information in that realm. And also, I think, like, Brooke already touched upon this, but Belessa is a really good resource as well. And I think, what do you say, adulttime.com?
Adulttime.com has been one that I've been learning a bit more about. And
okay,
they have a really amazing TikTok page. where they go into those consent conversations, what creators like to do after, their creator's favorite post-filming snack is, things like that. So they really humanize their creators and support them as individuals, have consent coaches, supportive staff on scene, really make sure that there are safe words and what to say if you want to stop a scene, if you want to take a break. So I've really enjoyed seeing that, especially on socials. So I definitely need to learn more and make sure that that's happening behind the camera. But from what I can see, they seem like a really amazing company and organization. If I had to recommend anything else, I also think the book called Pleasure Activism by Adrienne Marie Brown is a really great book full of incredible essays from people about pleasure, how to promote pleasure, how to talk about pleasure, people's individual experiences with pleasure activism. So it's a really great resource. But yes, absolutely look up Mia Khalifa. Support your sex worker friends. Support your friends that are in the adult industry and make sure that they are feeling safe and being comfortable, because the best thing that you can do is also be a resource for them as well. But yeah, I think that's also, podcasts are really great. Sex with Emily is another really great creator that has a lot of content about sex, sexuality, kinks, how to approach kinks if you're new to them. She's a really awesome person and resource. I want to double check her credentials because I don't want to say anything incorrectly. Mm-hmm. She is a leading sex expert and she is a doctor, Dr. Emily Morse. She's really, really awesome and has a great podcast, has a great social presence. Quinn has also worked with her. So we adore her and all of her work. But yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much. Yeah, Pleasure Activism was going to be one of the things I recommended. Because I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, for my other media recs, I've been watching the new season of Never Have I Ever, which also talks a lot of, I think, sexual pleasure related topics.
Also, Sex Education, the show of on course. Netflix,
yes,
is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. No, I feel like we plug like Sex Education like every other episode, but it's wonderful.
I did them in my thesis in college. Like, I actually, like, their show was so influential to me. Like, I cannot even begin to, like, praise Sex Education enough.
Definitely. But yeah, Viv, do you want to give some of your media recs? And then, yeah, we can wrap up.
Yeah, I was also going to recommend Pleasure Activism, because...
Yes! We love supporting awesome authors!
Yeah! But what else have I been... What else have I been doing? I saw the Marcel the Shell movie, which was really good, actually. It made me cry. It was beautiful. So yeah, that was very sweet. Let's see. I don't know. I've been working a lot this month, so I haven't been listening to a ton of, like, music that isn't, like, super sterilized for, like, customers. But I've been really into, like, Metric, the band. They did, like, some songs for the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack, and they have, like, a couple other albums that are, like, really good. So I would, like, not discount them for that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to. And yeah.
I love that. But yeah, Brooke, thank you so much for being here with us. And we hope you all enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions for Brooke or regarding Quinn or just in general about porn culture that we could further answer, feel free to DM us on our Instagram as always. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we're done with this one, and hopefully, Brooke, we can have you on again sometime.
I would love to be on again. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for this conversation, and I can't wait to follow you guys and support you all and make sure to share this episode with everyone.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, I think your perspective is super appreciated, and I'm like coming out of this like thinking about a lot of new things, which is super exciting. So yeah, I'm like forever thankful to have this podcast and be able to have all of these awesome conversations with people.
Yay! Well, hopefully we will talk.